Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Today, my sermon is entitled The Father's Business. Am I about my father's business? What does it truly mean to be about my father's business? Who has heard of this term before? The father's business. Some of you are here this morning saying, I have no clue. I think it's about my dad. A while back, my heart was full. My mind was full. At times, I've felt anxiety throughout kind of my life, stress, and I ended up meeting a counselor. And as I was sharing my circumstances about what I was facing, things that I needed clarity for, I was asked a question that took me back. It was actually a question that kind of aggravated me, honestly. And that question was, how is your relationship with your father? It was an annoying question because that had nothing to do with what I was there for. And I said, good. And she said, when you go through challenging times, do you ask your earthly father for advice? And I said, sometimes. I used to a lot more, like back in the day. And she made a statement that often relationships with our earthly father is reflective on how our relationship with our heavenly father is. And this was a real challenge for me because there was actual truth to what she said, and I didn't want that to be true. Can anybody relate to that? Do I go to my Heavenly Father when I need help? Sometimes I do, but I don't continually do that like I should. Am I about my father's business? Well, I technically am, because my dad was a pastor, and I'm a pastor, so I'm about my father's business, but am I about my Heavenly Father's business? I imagine I'm not alone in these thoughts. Do you go to your Heavenly Father with the needs of your family? Do you go to your Heavenly Father for knowing God's will for your life? Do you go to your Heavenly Father when you have storms in your life? For friends? For your schools? For your family? And the scripture that I'm about to share gives us 6 values on becoming more about our Father's business. And guess what? It comes from a preteener. How many preteens do we have here? Age 10 to 12? There's a bunch. 10 to 12. Come on. Put up your hand really tall. Greg Saunders even put up his hand. So, by the way, last night, side note, I was at Saratoga Raceway. Who's been to Saratoga Raceway? By the way, tons of fun. We saw trailers getting all smashed up, and it was a blast. But there were 11-year-olds driving these race cars that were going super fast. It was so cool. I couldn't believe that there are some 11-year-old car drivers that can drive better than I can. Isn't that awesome? I'd be so nervous and nervous about getting hurt and whatever. We're going to get into our scripture, Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 52. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast, which was the Passover. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. So here Jesus stayed behind. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So here Mary and Joseph are searching for Jesus. Just put yourself in this scripture as parents. We've got a lot of parents. What would you be doing during this time? And so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And don't you wish there were a few extra verses written in the scripture of the dialogue between Mary and Joseph on the trip back to Jerusalem? It was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who had heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" That is the key verse this morning. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. So let's talk about one of the key frustrations here in this scripture. And what would that be? Jesus being left behind, right? Parents not knowing where he is. I know what you're thinking. How could parents forget their child? On these journeys to Jerusalem, he was either with the mom and the young kids or the dad and the older boys in the caravan. And either parent probably assumed that he was with the other. It says Jesus lingered behind, not that the parents forgot him. The Bible doesn't mention what emotions were going on between Mary and Joseph, but can we all imagine what that would be like? Mary was probably like the mom on Home Alone, right? Kevin! Right? Jesus! Kim and I would be a mess. You think driving in LA would be stressful. Try leaving your kid and it takes a whole day to get there. And then you have to find him. Thinking the worst, I'm sure. And the Bible doesn't share about that dialogue. But I wonder how it really went. It was your fault. No, it was your fault. Why isn't he with you? How would it go in your car, kids? Probably not the best. To make it worse, you're the parents of the Savior of the world. If something happened to Jesus, there would be no hope in the world. How could we ever forgive ourselves? Mary and Joseph ended up finding their son. And where do they find him? Do they find him in the park? Do they find him in the toy store? Do they find him at a rich hotel eating pizza and eating candy or getting limos everywhere? No, Jesus was at the temple courts hanging out with the teachers. Verse 48 shows a glimpse of what the trip back was like for Mary and Joseph. And Mary said, "Son, why have you done this to us?" She was anxious. And Jesus replied, "Why were you searching for me?" Could you see your kids saying that? Why were you searching for me? "And didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" There's extraordinary significance here. Jesus uses the phrase, "my father." He was about his father's business. That's why he was at the temple. And there are 6 takeaway values to help you to be more about your father's business. And these aren't just for adults. These are for kids. These are for preteens. These are for teens. These are for seniors. These are for families. These are values that we need to take home. So if you have a pen and paper, just jot them down. The first value Jesus shows us is to value friends. To value friends. At a young age, Jesus showed that he cared for people. He wanted to be around people of like mind. People that he could talk to. People that he could learn from. Do we have people in our life that we care for? Do we have people in our life that we care for? Do you have people in your life that you love, respect, trust, that you're not afraid to talk about hard issues with? Do we notice when our friends are going through challenging times? Do you notice when your friends aren't in church? Do we reach out to those friends that we don't see in church? Do we reach out to them that... Do we reach out to our friends that are going through hard times? Do we send them messages? Do we phone them up? Do we go visit? Do we invite them over? You know, there's something called mirroring. And it's something that relational experts call mirroring that takes place in friendships and seems to involve the alignment of choices and values. In other words, when two people become friends, they both begin to change, both good and bad. And this is both dangerous and helpful, depending on the character of each friend. This year, students, you know, pick your friends. Don't let them pick you. Right? Pick your friends. Don't let them pick you. Pick wisely who we hang out with, who we spend time with. Friends can make or break a good year. Do I hear any amens from parents?
Amen.
Mirroring also happens with our relationship with God, but it's more of a one-sided mirror. Right? God doesn't change. He has no room for improvement. He's perfect. He's complete. And the more we spend time with him, the more we learn about him, the more we spend time with others that encourage us to walk with him, we learn to be more like God and get some of those characteristics that are good. And is there any other believer that you share your life with? Somebody that you have accountability with? Does your children see healthy friendships in your life, parents? Spouses. Something we can all be better in. We can all be treating our spouse better. You know, we're an example to our kids at all times. Do we invite others into our homes? Are we about our Father's business with our friends? I enjoy when my friends get to know my kids because they could also have a great voice in their life. I love our youth leaders because there are things that maybe my kids don't want to talk to me about, but they can talk to our youth leaders about. That's what they're about. That's why we have youth leaders, to care and love our students. And that's just not all the other students. That's my kids as well. The second, Jesus shows us to value worship. And Jesus' family were in Jerusalem. To attend what? To attend the Passover. This was an act of worship. They were the example to Jesus because they traveled a long distance. Do you take steps to make sure worship is in the DNA of your house, parents? And culture of your family? Are you involved in the life of the church? And does discussion around your house reflect worship? And I'm not just saying maybe praying at the table, but do you have those good discussions? I'm going to go off script a little bit. They say, I went to this 40 developmental asset. I went to this seminar in the 40 developmental assets, and they said the average amount of time that fathers have good discussions with their kids, how many can take a guess what that would be? How much time? Anybody want to take a stab at it? Under 45 seconds a day. Under 45 seconds a day. And moms were, I forget the number, but for moms it was under 2 minutes. Parents, we need to change that. We need to find those times when our kids are most vulnerable, that they'll be able to share their heart and see what happens to them. For our kids, our kids are most vulnerable probably at night before they go to bed, right? I'm just saying that's an example for us. It could be the morning. We're not morning people, right? We wake up, about a half an hour before we have to, like, leave, except for my wife's not like that, but Haley and Noah and I are like that. But find out. Have great discussions. Eat at the table with your kids. Talk about things that are meaningful. Worship changes us. We were created to worship our Heavenly Father. Jesus shows us to value learning. To value learning. And the scripture says that Mary and Joseph found Jesus where? At the temple. He was listening to the teachers. He was asking questions. And church, it's important to create environments both in your church and in your homes that welcomes discussions on why do we pray? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we follow God's will? We should all be learners of God's word, but not only listening to God's word, but applying what God has for us. And James 1:22 says, "And remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen to. If you don't obey, you are only fooling yourself." This summer, God has been speaking to me about solitude. That's something that he has been speaking to me about. And if you know me, that is not something I don't do well. Because I'm highly extroverted. I love being around people, even on my days off. I'll be phoning my friends here at church to go wherever, right? If my wife's working. But God wants me to have more solitude in my life. That I would spend more quality time with him. What are things that God is speaking to you about? For your family, for yourself, for your spouse. What are some things that we can apply to... You know, the best thing I've come to realize that I can offer my family, my church, our youth ministry is a healthy me. The best thing that you can offer your family is a healthy you. How does that look? What steps can you take to be a healthy you? This fall, go to church. Be a part of life groups. Be a part of when we have seniors, youth. Get involved in our local church. What is God teaching you? What is he teaching you about your family? Jesus shows us to value serving. He knew the importance of being in his Father's house. He knew he could make a difference. His voice would make a difference. We all have gifts to use regardless of your age. We need more people involved in the ministries of our church. Ushering, greeting, sound. We even have cleaners throughout the week. And we're always looking for people to help clean. So if you like to be by yourself, right? That's a way that you can serve. Maybe you're not the greatest of the people. That's okay, right? We've got other people that are. Our heart in our student ministries this year is to develop a peer-to-peer mentoring. And what I mean by that is we want our preteens to help mentor our kids. We want our youth to help mentor our preteens. We want our young adults to help mentor our youth. One step we're taking in that is we're moving our youth night to Wednesday, which creates an opportunity where our young adults can be a part of our youth ministry leadership. That is one step that we've made because we see the value in young adults making a difference with our teens. Who's with me? We see adults making a difference with their young adults. Do you know that our church has quite a few international students in it? We love our international students. Thursday nights, Josiah and Kelly, they're doing a great job with our young adult team, and they just have a bunch of young adults that just come, and they're welcomed in their house. But as a church, can we adopt some of these international students that don't have mom and dads with them? Right? They don't have people that, maybe you can invite them over and say, hey, why don't you bring your dirty laundry over? And you can do your laundry while we'll feed you. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Who's going to sign up for that right now? If you're interested in doing that, talk to Josiah, and I'm sure, like, for these international students that missed their home cooking meals, I'm sure they would really appreciate that. They need adopted moms, dads, grandparents in their life to be there for them. And Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, to give his life as a ransom for many." And sometimes people view the church as how it can serve me. But it's a dangerous way to think. We need to think, how can I serve? How can I serve people? How can I serve the church? You know, a few months ago, I taught the age 2 to 5 year old kids downstairs. And as I was teaching this boy, I don't know if he's here right now, but this boy was actually teaching me the lesson. And I'm like, how do you know this? Like, I was supposed to teach it, but he's teaching everybody else. And he's like, well, my dad is teaching next door, and we went over this as a family. These things speak volumes to kids. Kids remember those things for the rest of your life. And that was Stephen Scott's son. You could see he was super proud of his dad teaching and serving in the church. He knew everything I was going to say before I said it. He learned the whole lesson previously. And the one other area that we can... we could even have an attitude change at times. Spencer and I had a great lunch. He's one of the dudes, him and like Josiah and a few others that I really appreciate talking to. I feel better talking. You know when you're around certain people that make you feel better about yourself, right? You make you feel better about life. And as I was talking to Spencer, we were just talking about word terminology around the house. You know, what words maybe we should take out of our vocabulary, right? I have to preach Sunday. Maybe I get to. This is a privilege, right? I have to go to youth. I have to go help out with youth tonight. I get to. It's a privilege, right? I have to go clean the church. I get to do this. These are things that we get to do. It's a privilege to serve. It really is. And fifth, Jesus shows us to value sharing. Jesus shared at the temple and all were amazed. Who's familiar with the Great Commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I moved into a place where I gained about 200 instant friends. Because I'm a part of the church. Not everybody has the privilege of being a part of a church. And it's easy for me to be stuck in a place where I have 200 friends. Because we live in a place that has tens of thousands of people that don't know Jesus. Who's with me here? I need to be a part of that. I need to be out in community and having intentional friendships. People that I can share Jesus with. And this fall, I'm looking at playing soccer. Joining a team, rubbing shoulders, sly tackling people, and hanging out with people, and scoring and passing, teamwork, those things are fun things, right? Building team. Who are we rubbing shoulders with? And God wants us to share our life with others. Our kids need to see that example in us as well. Are we loving our neighbors? Do you know your neighbor's name? Our neighbors. I love our neighbors. They moved from Victoria about the same time as us, and we've been developing this friendship relationship kind of a little bit slower, but lately it's really progressed. And one way that was kind of selfish as well, but we've always wanted a dog, and we have an opportunity with our neighbors that we could take care of their dog anytime. And if we want to go for a walk, we could just go over to our neighbor's house and just say, "Hey, can we take out your dog?" And our family has really loved this animal. And I know Pastor Chad's not a big fan of dogs, but you like cats more? Is that one? No? He just hates God's creation. But that's all right. Whatever. We've learned to love this dog, and a few weeks ago they came back from a trip from Victoria, and what's the worst thing? They get back at dinner time and then they have to make dinner. I was like, you know what? I'll just invite them over, have a barbecue, and they accepted, and we had a great time. And last week they invited us over. And I'm not trying to brag, but these are steps that we can make to love our neighbors. We're called to love our neighbors. We're called to love the lost of the Comox Valley. Our neighbor has even hired my daughter to go babysit for them, which is amazing, and they pay really well. So my daughter's super happy. But our lives need to be that visual illustration of God in us and God working through us. We need to listen to their hearts, hearing what they really have to say. Are we really about our Father's business? Do we share about our Father's business? And Jesus shows us to value obedience, my last point. And we could have the worship team come forward. Jesus showed his parents obedience by going back home with his parents. Parents, don't we want our kids to listen to us? Doesn't it make life so much easier when our kids listen to us? But parents, are we listening to our Heavenly Father? What are the things that He's sharing to you? What are the things that He's placing in your heart? The question is, are you about your Father's business? Are you building good friendships? Are you valuing worship? Are you valuing learning? Are you serving? Are you sharing? And with that, are you being obedient? Imagine if everyone in our church modeled a life that was all about the Father's business. How would your context change? If your family worshiped together, shared together, served together, learned together, were obedient together, how strong would this lighthouse on 1919 Guthrie Road B. Does anybody know that address? That's our church. How strong would the lighthouse on 1919 Guthrie be? In reflecting our life at home, at school, in our neighborhood, in our workplace, on our sports team? Are you about your Father's business? Where can we be more about our Father's business? Lord, we thank you for this church, Lord, this lighthouse on 1919 Guthrie. Lord, that this church would make a difference this year. Lord, this is an imperfect church led by imperfect people. Lord, that you would help us, help the imperfect people, Lord, to be more about your Father's business over this year. Lord, help us as families, help us as parents to teach our kids to be more about your business in our household. Lord Jesus, give us wisdom, Lord. Give us grace. Give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, this morning we thank you that we are able to be in this place. We can pour out our praise upon you. But God, it's not something that we just reserve for Sunday morning from 10 till about 11:30. God, every single day we pour out our praise to you. It's a daily walk. It's an hour-by-hour walk. And Father, I pray this morning that every single one of us would have received the challenge and that we would ask ourselves, am I about my Father's business? With what I'm doing, with where I'm going, with what I'm watching, with the way that I speak, with the way that I conduct myself, am I about my Father's business? God, is it something that we would actually want you to be a part of? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Are we mirroring what it is that you're asking us to do? And if we aren't, then it's us that needs to change. God, show us, teach us, reveal to us how it is or what it is that we need to do so that we become more like you. It's not just about saying, I'm a Christian. But it's about living it out, about walking it out, about talking it out, about being an example. God, anybody can say they're a Christian. But God, this morning, I want to say and declare that I am a follower of Christ. I follow in your footsteps. And when I look at the things that you're doing, I want to do those things. And if my footsteps do not mirror what you're doing, then I need to come into alignment with you. So God, I pray that that would be our challenge this week. That we, with everything we do, we would ask ourselves, am I about my Father's business? Do I have the mind of Christ in my conversations, in everything that I do? God, teach us and show us what it is that you want us to do and how we are to change to become more like you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.